భాగవతం ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో 10 చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 4. కామం బవర్ష పర్జన్య సర్వకామదుఘామహి శిశిచూస్మ వ్రజాన్ గావః పయసోధస్వతీర్ముదా కామం రెయిన్స్ సర్వ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కామ నెసెసిటీస్ దుఘా ప్రొడ్యూసర్ మహి ద ల్యాండ్ శిశిచుస్మ మాయిశ్చర్ ప్రజాన్ పాశ్చరింగ్ గ్రౌండ్స్ గావః ద కౌ పయసా ఉదస్వతీ డ్యూ టు స్వోలన్ మిల్క్ బ్యాగ్స్ ముదా బికాస్ ఆఫ్ అ జాయ్ఫుల్ యాటిట్యూడ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పుల్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్సీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి డ్యూరింగ్ ద రెయిన్ ఆఫ్ మహారాజ్ యుధిష్ఠిర్ ద క్లౌడ్స్ షవర్డ్ ఆల్ ద వాటర్ ద పీపుల్ నీడెడ్ అండ్ ద ఎర్త్ ప్రొడ్యూస్డ్ ఆల్ ద నెసెసిటీస్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ ఇన్ ప్రొఫ్యూషన్ డ్యూ టు ఇట్స్ ఫ్యాటీ మిల్క్ బ్యాగ్ అండ్ చీర్ఫుల్ యాటిట్యూడ్ ద కౌ యూస్ ద మాయిశ్చర్ ద గ్రేసింగ్ గ్రౌండ్ విత్ మిల్క్ పర్పుల్ The basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. Jai Shri Radha Kunji Bihari ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. The necessities of human society are food grains, fruits, milk, minerals, clothing, wood, etc. One requires all these items to fulfill the material needs of the body. Certainly one does not require flesh and fish or iron tools and machinery. During the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthir, all over the world there were regulated rainfalls. Rainfalls are not in the control of the human being. The heavenly king Indradev is the controller of rains and he is a servant of the Lord. When the Lord is obeyed by the king and the people under the king's administration, there are regulated rains from the horizon. And these rains are the causes of all varieties of production on the land. Not only do regulated rains help ample production of grains and fruits, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Grains and vegetables can... stones and pearls. Grains and vegetables can... grains and vegetables can sumptuously feed a man and and animals, and a fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply a man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruit, enough cotton, enough silk and enough jewels, then why do the people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? What is the need of an artificial luxurious life of cinema, cars, radio, flesh and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man? It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk, because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were joyful. Do they not require therefore proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with a sufficient quantity of grass in the field? Why should men kill cows for their selfish purposes? Why should man not be satisfied with grains, fruits and milk, which combined together can produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes? Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthir, while touring his vast kingdom, saw a black man attempting to kill a cow. The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not a king or executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves. Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country citizens also? Then why are they allowed to be butchered in organized slaughterhouses? Are these the signs of equality, fraternity and non-violence? Therefore, in contrast with the modern, advanced, civilized form of government and autocracy, like Maharaj Yudhishthira's, is by far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than animal man. We are all creatures of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the Lord Himself is a seed-giving father and material nature is the mother of all living beings in all shapes. Thus, mother material nature has enough foodstuff, both for animals and for men, by the grace of Father Almighty, Sri Krishna. The human being is the eldest brother of all other living beings. He is endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals for realizing the course of nature and the indications of the Almighty Father. Human civilizations should depend on the production of material nature without artificially attempting economic development to turn the world into a chaos of artificial greed and power only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. This is but the life of dogs and hogs. In this series of verses, especially this one and the next verse, Srila Prabhupada teaches some of the most valuable principles for the modern man from the Vedic wisdom. See, in the next purport also there is a italics sentence. The secret to success is to take refuge under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Without His sanction, nothing can be possible. So Prabhupada is writing just before that. Maharaj Yudhishthira was under the protection of the Supreme Lord, Infallible Lord. And as above mentioned, the properties of the Lord, namely rivers, oceans, hills, forests, etc., were all pleased, and they used to supply their respective quota of the taxes to the king. The secret to success is to take refuge under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Without His sanction, nothing can be possible. To make economic development by our own endeavors on the strength of tools and machinery is not all. So very similar purport is there in the next verse also. If you want to put all these discussions that are going on here in the purport, it's very succinctly. Modern man or the old man, Vedic man, you take any man for instance, he's eager for increasing varieties of artificial necessities or possessions, which are categorized under the category of wants, not the needs, with the idea of enjoying life. In the same way, he also wants to possess power and dominion over other living beings and other things around him, again for the sake of enjoyment. These two things can be very easily observed. Wanting to possess more and more and more, which is actually a keen desire for proprietorship over as much as possible. Because Krishna is called as a Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So every living entity is trying to become Sarvaloka Maheshwaram also. Just like Bali Maharaj occupied all the three worlds. And temporarily he was a temporary Sarvaloka Maheshwaram for some period of time. So there is a desire for gradually increasing one's influence over other places and people. That is a very strong desire in the living being for the sake of enjoyment. And thereby gaining power, control, supremacy and dominion over all the things and people, so that one can exploit them and manipulate them for one's own enjoyment. So basically this is proprietorship and controllership for the sake of enjoyership. So this is what is very much wanted by every living being, whether it is old times or new times. There is no difference in this philosophy of the living entity who has become separate from Krishna, wanting to enjoy. Maybe the external things that are being spoken may be different. Like in the Vedic life, we call it as dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma a man performs. Why? For gaining artha, for gaining wealth. Why he wants wealth? So that he can enjoy kama. He can enjoy all his desires in various ways. In the Vedic life, enjoyment means, it is said, yakshe dasyami modishye, iti ajnana vimohita. He says in those verses, a Vedic life a man enjoys by giving charity and becoming proud. If a man becomes, or a brahmana enjoys sense gratification by his scholarly aptitude and becoming a digvijay pandit, that is brahmana sense gratification. And a kshatriya enjoys by invading over the neighbors and other countries and encroaching on other people's property and land, kingdom, and bringing them all under his subjugation. Isn't it? In this way we can talk about, you know, whether old times or new times, there is a kind of desire for enjoyment, for possessing more artificial necessities, and to have power and control in one's hand for dominating others. Because of which the living entity, the individual suffers and they make others suffer. Just like Hitler, for example. He was keeping millions of people under his clutches, and for that he killed millions. He was preaching very strongly to keep people under his control and for using them to kill millions of Jews by gassing them. Prabhupada is indirectly writing about that in the purport, one of the lines. See here, he says here, has the civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man? Now here, just for the enjoyment of an elite few who live in countryside, millions of other men have to work very hard in the factory in a city that is full of air pollution, noise pollution, and water pollution, and mind pollution. Isn't it? Just for the enjoyment of elite few who may have their own chartered plane, and they may live in a countryside like Kadakwasla. They can live happily, and their men are working very hard in a highly polluted zone. So, whether it is an industry owner who is exploiting his men, or Hitler, who is a dictator who is exploiting people and killing them, ultimately the principle is the same. Possessing more artificial necessities for one's own enjoyment and for domination. The whole purport you will find is having an underlying principle that we don't need artificial necessities. Like the slaughterhouses. Like for example, 1/3 of the world population takes tobacco or cigarette, for example. 1/3 of the youth population of the world, they take tobacco. But if you see, there are more than 400 poisons. I was reading in one of the Chaitanya Charan Poo's articles. There are more than 400 poisons in a cigarette. You can imagine how deadly it is, although it is written there, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. Still people are consuming poisons. This is the meaning of artificial necessity. That which is not beneficial, for which you have to spend money and you purchase poison and consume. What kind of wisdom is that? Modern man's education. So, he is also working hard to earn money and spend. And after spending, he is also eating something that is consuming his own body. It is a self-destructive habit. At the same time, he is also causing so much trouble to others because he makes the other people into passive smokers. He is causing so much pain to them also. So, this is just one example. You can extend this example to many others. Like for example, Prabhupada is talking about the slaughterhouses. Leonardo da Vinci made a very profound statement. When he saw that modern man is claiming himself to be the pinnacle of evolution, he is at the top of all the creatures. Man may be very small in size, but he can even control an elephant. Or he can even control a lion. He can put them in cages. Practically there is no animal which a man cannot control. He is controlling all the animals. So he said, man undoubtedly is the king of animals. But he sarcastically said, because his brutality exceeds theirs. Isn't it? It was such a profound statement. His brutality exceeds. So he didn't say man is king of all animals because he is in the pinnacle of evolution. He is the most evolved. He didn't say because of that. Because his brutality exceeds theirs. And not only that, he said further. He said, our stomach has become a burial place for the dead carcasses of animals. Just see, man lives by the death of others. He said. So every one of these words are very powerful. Just see, the modern man, he lives by the death of others. What is his education? And his stomach has become a burial place for the dead carcasses of animals. So, these are very sensible statements. Many great writers have made very profound statements. Just like I read another by Pythagoras. Pythagoras also says, what does Pythagoras say, first he says, as long as the man massacre animals, he will surely kill each other. So it has a connection. Prabhupada writes the same thing in his purport. He says, the wars have a connection to the slaughterhouses. When man massacres animals, same thing Pythagoras says, as long as the man massacres animals, he will certainly kill each other. There is no doubt about that. Because as long as he is sowing the seeds of murder and pain in animals, he cannot hope to reap the fruits of joy and love. It's not possible. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. You will just get the results of that. So, slaughterhouse again is another example of artificial necessity where a man is causing so much pain to the other creatures like the cow and the goats and the chicken and pigs and all kinds of creatures by keeping them in closed pens they call it, I think, closed pens for a long period of time, feeding them and fattening them, ultimately to slaughter them and eat them, not allowing them to naturally graze in the greenery and not accept the milk that they are giving, like the cow is giving milk, but to slit the throat of such an innocent creature. So the slaughterhouses, not only the slaughterhouses are harmful to the individual who is eating, who may get diseases like cancer and many other diseases, but also they consume a lot of water, they consume a lot of space. So if you make a comparative study of vegetarian eaters and the non-vegetarian eaters, a lot could be said about how the meat industry has caused varieties of problems to every individual man in the society. And individually also it's not going to make one very healthy. There are varieties of diseases that one gets by consuming meat. So Prabhupada is giving a long list about each of which you can talk as artificial necessity. One does not require flesh and fish, iron tools and machinery. In the next purport, Prabhupada is writing even many more long list of items. Here in this purport, he's saying that why do people need cinemas? Cinema is an expert facility for mind pollution, isn't it? Which man does not think seriously. Like for example, the horror movies, they awaken man's bestial nature or animalistic nature to destroy others in mode of ignorance. Why modern man enjoys seeing a horror movie where a plane is crashed or a car is smashed, isn't it? You see in the movies, and people clap hands, they like it very much, saying, why? Because they are in mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance means destruction. One likes to see destruction. Actually, when one sees destruction, one should feel sorry. But one doesn't feel sorry, one likes destruction. That means one is in mode of ignorance. And the horror movies one sees, in fact, people see such horror movies, and later on they send aeroplanes into towers, twin towers, after seeing such movies. Now you see the children go to the market to buy toys. Especially modern children, they cry like anything to the parents that I want this toy of twin towers and a plane crashing into it. You know, they have toys. It's sold in the market now. There is a video game also now. There is a video game where the plane is coming and most of the children are playing that game of a plane entering into the building and crashing the building into powder. So, in fact, there had been English movies where after seeing the movie, certain men had used those techniques to kill others or murder others or destroy a city or a town. They have done such things by seeing such movies. So what is the use of cinemas? And the cinemas become your source of destruction for the public because such movies show such things. Not only that, the movie is addressed to the lower animalistic needs or instinct of human being and try to awaken that, which is very dangerous. It's like twisting the tail of a sleeping tiger. If you do that, then you can imagine only bones will be left behind, isn't it? Similarly, already everyone has an animalistic nature which is not natural to the soul, which is actually natural for due to our conditioning nature. Like there is a natural state of the soul and there is an artificial state of the soul. What is the artificial state of the soul? The conditionings. For example, lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion, greed, all these shadaripu, we say six enemies, they have covered the soul. And we want to actually eliminate these impurities from our heart rather than indulging in them. But the cinema houses, they show activities where one's animalistic nature is given a nourishment, because of which people become bigger animals. Although they may be wandering as perfect gentlemen and ladies, wearing coat, suit, tie and miniskirts, wearing modern dresses. But there is no gentlemanliness in their life because the barbaric animalistic nature is awakened by such cinemas, which portray the man and woman in their nudity by showing them nude and by awakening the dormant lusty desires in the hearts of people. Often the modern women, they think that we are more independent compared to the Vedic times, which always downplayed the woman and considered women to be useless entities or slaves to man, and they should be kept in the home and they should not be given the equal rights to go out and, you know, prove themselves to be equal to man. Many times women think like that in the modern times. But they can ask themselves this question. In the modern scenario, the women are portrayed with their half-nude and full-nude pictures, as you see in the internet or in the posters, cinema posters. Is it a sign of modern man respecting woman? He is publicizing such kind of posters in the public. You can see, this goes to show what is the kind of attitude modern man has towards woman. And women who are working in offices as secretaries and assistants to man, you can hear their private stories of how much grievances they have working with the modern man, because they are always sexually assaulted, even by the President of the United States, Clinton. What to speak of the people below, down the line. So, women, if you ask them their personal private lives, how much they are troubled, they will know. And in the Vedic times, women were most respected. You will see, you know, women had even Swayambar, where they even were allowed to choose a man of the choice. And it is said, Suryopina Pashyati. There is a verse which says that a woman will not come out of her house. Even sun has not seen a woman, it is said. They will live in the house. So modern woman may ask, is it a compliment or a criticism? The woman never came out of their houses, where they are not tied to their homes. But because women were inside the homes and chaste, and they were not out in the street for modern man to exploit them, because of that the woman could maintain their purity, and the sanskar was so great that the children also became righteous. Great mothers produce great children, and the children also become first class leaders, such leaders as Shivaji Maharaj or like Gandhi in India. They are becoming rare now, in the modern times, because powerful parents produce powerful children. But the cinema houses are places, even if you find the Vedic times, the cinema actresses who act in cinemas or those who do dances, they are not women coming from pure homes. They are not, that's not considered a very chaste profession, very pure profession. And even in such movies, you will find, if you see the 1940, 1950 movies, you will never find such kind of obsceneness that you see now in the modern times. You will never find that. Even in movies. Even movies are actually supposed to promote morals and law and order in society. That's the purpose of the cinemas and movies. But Prabhupada is talking about the modern cinemas, which actually bring out the animalistic instincts from human beings and make him a two-legged, barbaric animal, which Prabhupada calls as the deluxe edition of animals. Kali Yuga is a royal edition of animals. Prabhupada calls it royal edition. So modern man looks like a gentleman, but inside him lies the animal, which is awakened by the cinemas. So what is the need of cinemas and houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, all these things? Cars, radio where people hear the cricket commentary, telling each other, serving each other very faithfully by telling each other, the scores of how much India has won, how much Pakistan has lost or whatever. In trains you will find, trains and buses you find people, hearing the scores and telling other people, helping each other. What is the use of that? Bernard Shaw made a very intelligent statement. He said 11 fools are, hitting with a, what did he say? 11 fools are hitting with a bat, ball, and 11,000 fools are watching. He said, 11 fools are batting and 11,000 fools are watching, he said. What kind of activity is that? One fellow throws the ball, another fellow hits and keeps running back and forth. And that goes all day. And the 11,000 fools watching in the television, same thing. It's craziness. We don't know what kind of thing they derive out of that. It's what kind of fun they derive. So, the radio, where people are hearing all day score cricket commentary, such kind of absorption in materialism is because people just don't know what is worthy of absorption. Shrotavyah, kirtitavyah, smartavyah means worthy, the word worthy. Worthy of hearing, worthy of remembering. Shrotavyah, kirtitavyah, worthy of speaking. What is it? Tasmad Bharata, Sarvatma, Bhagavan, Ishwaro Harihi. Lord Krishna, Hari, the subject matter about him is worthy of Shrotavya, worthy of hearing, worthy of speaking, worthy of remembering. Not the short-term, temporary, passing away heroes, like the cricketers, the cinema actors, the sports stars, all these people. There are cinema stars and there are sports stars and there are and dancing stars, and all these people, they are all like a glow worm that glows in the night and dies in the morning. It has no existence. But Krishna is like the sun, Lord Hari. So these are imitators of the supreme hero, Krishna. So unfortunately, these kind of cinemas, they promote such heroes. That's why Prabhupada is saying luxurious life of cinemas and cars. This madness for cars is increasing a lot. I heard that in Pune also, we have companies, which are all working on producing more and more cars at cheaper and cheaper prices. They are trying to. Of course, they are producing cars which are of higher quality and higher prices also. And there are people to buy that also. On one hand, they are going for 10 lakhs, 20 lakhs, 25 lakhs, 30 lakhs cars. And for the, you know, there are average class people and the higher class people. For higher class people, they are increasing the cost of the cars and increasing the facilities within the car. First there was a car, now they have, you know, soft cushion, then there is air condition, then you have a, they are making the cars like a home only. Increasing the comforts within a car. And they are reducing the price of the car so that you know, average man will be able to buy. Bringing it down from 5 lakh to 4 lakh, then 3 lakh. Now they are going to come down to a car which will be only 1 lakh. So that every one of you can have a car. And then the problem comes, oh, if everyone in Pune has a car, there will be 40 lakh cars. 40 lakh people in Pune. Then what about the roads? In Pune, the biggest menace is the two-wheelers. You will see, even if you have a car, you will find ahead of you there will be 10 two-wheelers. Going ahead, you know, they will come and block. That way the accidents are very less. But then the amount of pollution increases. And then the roads become small in size, not enough space for going, the traffic jam. And there are signals, number of signals increase, number of amount of time you stop in each signal, that increases. And then what they do? They go for a flyover. Then you go for a flyover. Then what about flyover? Flyover will also get filled up after some time. The bottom roads and the top roads, then what? Then you have to go for a flyover. Think of, I don't know how many more flyovers they are going to make. So, there is no end to this civilization of increasing the luxuries more and more. So that's why Prabhupada is asking, what is the need of cars which increase the pollution, which increase the tension? There are so many officers, very big managers of companies sitting in cars and sitting with great tension. There is a man behind you who is honking his horn. But you cannot move ahead because there's a traffic jam. And you get wild in the mind, you get stress. So although modern man has escaped many of his physical inconveniences, he is terribly suffering from mental stress. That comes from the kind of lifestyle he has put himself into. Modern man has put himself into a very dangerous type of lifestyle, where he cannot get a moment of peace. The other day I was giving a stress management seminar for a team of managers. In between the stress management seminar, dozens of calls for them. All of them are getting phone calls. I told them, you put off the mobile, you know, hear the seminar. You are hearing a stress management seminar. You want to get rid of stress or not? Getting so many calls. So at the end of the seminar, they were all telling how the life is immensely stressful. They are not able to balance between giving time for wife and children and giving time for the company. They say we are working like 14 hours, 16 hours a day. They are not having any time to eat or sleep or anything. Life has become extremely stressful for the modern man. So what is the use of the luxuries? The purpose of the luxuries is to make life happier. Like they say, let's make things better. Have they made the things better or worse? They made things worse, from bad to worse. So the luxuries have not helped the modern man to become happier, but it has made man more stressful. That's why Prabhupada is asking, what is the need of all these things? Cars, radio, flush and hotels. In the Vedic times, hotels are unheard of. In the place of hotels, there were only dharmashalas, where anybody can go and eat any time. Even today, the gurudwaras are very famous in India. You know, they have this bandara, they call it. Yeah, I heard that some gurudwaras are funded by the government of India. I heard in the north. Because in one bandara, sometimes they feed some 10,000 people in one stroke. You go to dharmashalas, they feed freely. Food is never charged. It's unheard of. In the Vedic times, if anybody sells food, he'll be considered a personification of sin. If he sells food, it'll come in the newspaper, so-and-so is selling food. Yeah, in his house. He is taking charge for food. But now the situation of the world is so bad that there are hotels and everything. So much so that people have become so uncharitable. Even in temple we have to sell food. You can see that. Because people, you sell food, people are ready to buy. If you give free food, people are doubtful why they are giving free food. Maybe they are disposing yesterday's food. Isn't it? Isn't it? That is the condition today. The Prabhupada is asking, what is the need of hotels? But you will find all these artificial necessities that Prabhupada is talking, they all have arisen in the life of modern man. Because modern man has plucked out God from the center of the society. And is trying to live a life of godless life. Like you see the earlier things that Prabhupada says, the natural items. The food grains, fruits, milk, minerals, clothing, wood. These are all considered necessities of life. They are not artificial necessities. They are absolute necessities. We need them for our survival. And already there is a very wonderful arrangement made by the Lord in the creation. Like he is saying, as soon as there is rain, rain is the source of all life. As soon as there is rain, all the living creatures, they get their quota of water, which even our municipality or government of India cannot do. Imagine if there are no rains and the government of India has to arrange for the water of every living creature. You know, they have to carry lorries of water. And they have to go to a house of even an ant and say, dear ant, please take your drops of water. And they have to go to a cockroach. They have to go to the squirrel. And they have to go to the cats and dogs and all the creatures, and they have to supply their water. Can a government do that? Millions of creatures. Even for the human beings, they will not be able to supply so much. So, in the Vedic life, you will see the civilization is centered around rivers. You will always see. People always live by the side of river. That is considered real opulence. In Vedic life, the opulences are completely different. You know what is considered opulence in a home? Anybody knows? Children are considered the opulence in home. You know, generally, it is said, and there is Ashirwad they give in South India, there is Ashirwad they give for a newly married man. Padinaram Petru Pervar Valha, they will say. Which means, get 16 children and live a great life. They used to give this kind of Ashirwad for newly married people when they go for offering obeisances. Now, I don't know how many young couples will be happy to receive such a benediction. They want to have family control beyond two children. We two, hum do, hamare do, they. I think hamare do, they made it hamare ek, I think now. Hum do, hamare ek. So, in the Vedic life, children are considered the real wealth. If a man and woman are living at home alone, in a flat, you know, both of them sniffing at each other's face, you know, that's not considered a happy life. They used to have a very big home, you know, where there are, you know, in the backyard there are cows very nicely taken care, they are giving milk, and children are running here and there in the home. That's considered great wealth in the home in Vedic life. So cows are considered real wealth. Cows are also treated exactly like children in the Vedic life. All the creatures, understanding that they are like the younger brothers of a human being. It is said even in the fields, they would keep some grains reserved for the mice, for the rats. They would reserve, yeah. Even Gaur Mohan Day was doing that, isn't it, in his shop. He was keeping some food for the rats. So they would never cut the cloth at all. They considered them like younger brothers. So every living being is considered a child of Krishna, child of God. Because Lord Krishna says, Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradahapita. I am the father of every living being, including the cows, including the calves, including the smaller innocent creatures. Once Prabhupada saw a small worm was crawling inside a room. And Prabhupada told the devotee, call the devotee inside, you know, pick up, you know, pick him up and put him on a, you know, leaf top. So the devotee picked up that small insect and put it on leaf top. Because, you know, and Prabhupada said, for him that is a natural position. He's supposed to be in the plant, you know, where he can eat the leaf and be happy there. So Prabhupada is concerned about the happiness of even an insignificant insect. This is Vedic life. On the other hand, you find such a innocent creature like a cow, which is, you know, selflessly giving milk to the human being. The milk which nourishes the brain, tissues, increasing the spiritual acumen of a human being to understand the subtle subject matter of spirituality. Modern man want to slit the throat of such an innocent cow. What a crazy life he is leading. What is the use of his education? Very Surprising. Despite such education, modern man is killing such innocent creatures like the so many. Cow is the topmost animal. There are many other animals and birds also that he wants to eat. So, the natural items that Prabhupada mentions here are all supplies of nature. They come from nature. As soon as there is rain, there is water supply for all the creatures. Then there is lushy green forest, the flowers bloom, and the fruits and the grains and everything grows in the nature. Annat bhavanti bhutani. The living entity subsist on food grains. And parjanyat anna sambhavah. By the rains, only the grains are made possible. Otherwise, modern man can create nuts and bolts, as Prabhupada often used to say. But who can eat nuts and bolts and survive? We need the grains for eating. And the grains are supplied by the rains. Now, there are a class of people that I was reading in one of the Bhakti Gautier articles, a very interesting point the author makes. He says that whenever there is scarcity in the nature, there is famine, there is a drought, there is a lack of water supply, or there is a lack of food grains, and all these things. Or whenever there is a natural disturbance, say for example tsunami, current comes in the ocean, or there's a tornado or a cyclone. Either a scarcity or a natural calamity or disturbance happens. Immediately the politicians panic and they blame the nature. That the nature has gone against us and, you know, people are suffering like this. But those people never ask why such dangers and such calamities happen. They do not know that the nature is not independent from Krishna. The nature is functioning under the direction of Krishna. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. Suyate sacharacharam. Lord is actually saying that Maya adhyakshena prakriti. The nature is functioning under my direction. It's not independent of me. But they don't see that. They don't see the plan of the Lord, the laws of the Lord which are governing the material nature. Not seeing that, they try to set it right by some kind of artificial ways. For example, and there is a class of people who are naturalists. They say, if you plant enough trees all over the globe, man can live a very happy life. So we should plant, you know, every year come up with a plan for planting more trees. Let us not go against nature. Let us eat organic food. Let us not put artificial fertilizers and, you know, spoil the plants and the trees so that, you know, man can eat natural food and live a healthy life. But then you ask them, what do you think about God? Oh, we don't believe in God. So they are another type of fools. Like one type of fools is trying to make the city hellish with air pollution, noise pollution, water pollution, and living a degraded life, a messy life. Another type of fool wants to lead a very refined life, living close to nature, living in a farm, eating nice natural organic food, and having abundant water supply, everything. But they think everything comes from nature. They are blind to see behind the nature there is Krishna. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti Durga. It is said, Durga is like a shadow. Material nature is like a shadow that follows Krishna's instruction. When Krishna waves a hand, then the entire nature starts blossoming. Kunti Maharani recognized that in her prayers. Tava vikshitaihi, she said. Tava vikshitaihi means, my dear Krishna, by your glance, the nature is producing all these grains and fruits and all wonderful things. Like you see, Prabhupada is saying by astronomical influence, which means during the Swati Nakshatra, when there is a rain, that rain enters into the mouth of the shells. You know, in the ocean, there are shells which are moving underwater in the ocean, but they come to the surface and with their mouth open, they are waiting for the Swati rain. And the Swati rain puts a raindrop inside, they immediately close and they go down deep in the ocean and they go round and round and round the ocean. And later on, that drop of water turns into a pearl. So, this mechanism is explained in the Vedas. Scientists are thinking that pearl forms how? Simply because the shells are going round and round in the water. And somehow or other, water enters into the, you know, shell inside. And then that water is revolved and then over a period of time it turns into a pearl. But they do not know, that's why we have to hear from the Vedas. The Vedas say that Not any any water put at any time can produce the pearl. It has to be a swati rain. Only at that time only the water which enters into the pearl can turn, that enters into shell can turn into a pearl. That's why he is writing about that astronomical influences, mixed with astronomical influence. See here, Papa says here. Not only do the regulated rains help ample production of grains and fruits, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Like that. So these are natural, naturally happening, but the nature doesn't happen, nature doesn't function automatically. It requires superior guidance. Just like in a factory, for example, a very nice product is coming out. You find a beautiful Mercedes-Benz car coming out of the factory. But if somebody asks you how this car is coming out, somebody may say, what is so great about it? You know. So on one side of the company, you know, they are sending the steel, iron and steel bars, you know, they are sending rubber, paint and all that. But the other side, Mercedes-Benz car is coming out. But in between, you can understand how much process goes on. There are hundreds and thousands of machines, and there are intelligent engineers and workers who are working on those things, manipulating them in such a way that ultimately the car can come out. Similarly, there are many demigods, agents in this world, like Prabhupada is talking about Indra. Indra is not the only one, there are many more. There are 33 crore demigods who are making all these wonderful things possible, like the flowers blossoming, grains coming, the valuable pearls, the minerals, and all the things that any creature needs for its sustenance, that is produced in nature. All these demigods are actually the in charge for making such miraculous things happen. And so many types of plants and different types of fruits are produced in nature, but how can they be produced automatically? Modern man doesn't have the necessary spiritual acumen to inquire into these simple truths. So these are real necessities. So we have to categorize between the two. What are real necessities and what are artificial wants? We have to clearly see. And modern man has gone into a lot of artificial wants. He is going very fastly ahead. Like you go to the house of any modern man, you find there is grinder, there is mixie, there is washing machine. And many women also think nowadays, oh, life is made easy. Why to work hard, you know? Now we have, I went to your house, they were saying, you know, we are living in a small flat, we can't afford to have facility for washing the clothes outside, because if you have a big home, naturally you can have outside the home, you can have a big stone in which you can beat the clothes, and you can wash very nicely, you can have water supply and everything. But then they were saying, we are having a small one room kitchen, a two room kitchen, just have a washing machine, put all the clothes and you can wash it. And it looks very nice, the artificial necessities, they look very attractive. They save so much of time. They save so much of your energy. You feel that. But then, one day there is a power cut all day. Or sometimes there are 2-3 days power cut. How much you curse everyone around you when you have to wash the clothes yourself. Because when you have not washed the clothes for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and you became conditioned to using the washing machine, then one day if you have to wash cloth, it looks like a Herculean task. It's like climbing Mount Everest. It looks like that. Then you are blaming the circumstances, you are blaming the electricity board, you are blaming the people around, and sometimes husband and wife have quarrel also. Actually, there is no reason for quarrel because power cut, they have quarrel. Yeah, you can see, you can ask in any home. Yeah, like you see this mobile is very convenient, but when you want to send a message to someone, it says message sending failed. No. You feel like throwing the mobile, isn't it? You become angry, yeah? So you will easily find the modern amenities and facilities, they increase the tension and stress of a man, and they increase the quarrel, even in a small home. Although they have put a board outside, sweet home. The board may say sweet, but inside it is not sweet, it is bitter, because when you try to use the modern facility, not only that, even if you assume that power cut never happened, and you had a generator also in your home, all the time you had power supply, Still, when you become 40, 50, then our body becomes like a vegetable because you never utilize the body. You start moving like a... You've seen people how they walk. Yeah. Because they have never moved their hands and legs properly. Yeah. And then they go to a doctor. Doctor says, you do yoga asanas now. You have to do yoga exercises. They have a stationary cycle. You know that? When you don't ride, a normal cycle, you have to drive a stationary cycle. You can see that, yeah. So this is the modern man. And he is applying so much energy wastefully, you know, in lifting weights, isn't it? If you carry your suitcase and carry normal weight instead of having a coolie, you know, you can save money also. Isn't it? You know, you all the time you know, don't do exercise with the body, then that's how our life is. It's utter foolishness. Of course, in Vedic life, also they do yogasanas and walking and everything. But the yogasanas are not done to have, you know, in order to become a bodybuilder to attract others. The yogasanas are actually done. If there are some pockets of toxins in our body, we do some yogasanas and then have a healthy body. So when you have healthy breathing and a healthy body, you can do meditation and pranayama and all these things, and your mind becomes calm. The whole purpose is different, the Vedic life. But modern man actually, modern man, if he does not do yogasanas living in a city, he'll be finished by the kind of toxic atmosphere in which he is living. He has made his life a great mess. So, we have to clearly distinguish between what is natural to use and what is artificial. Modern man is now trying to return back to normalcy, to natural way of living, which is very difficult. It is not very easy. Because he doesn't see the hand of God. He needs all these artificial necessities to impress other people, to show off to the world that I have so many possessions with me. Having a lot of possessions doesn't make you great, because all these things will remain behind. One has to leave these things behind and go ahead. People simply are proud of possessing artificial necessities. Here, Prabhupada is talking about Maharaj Yudhishthira's rule. During his rule, the clouds were showering all the water that people needed. Earth produced all the necessities. And the cows with their fatty milk bags were cheerful. They were having a cheerful attitude, running here and there happily. So we find when the king is ruling the country under the rule of God, under the laws of God, then such a king is called as a Naradev. Naradev means such a king is worshipable. People considered him as good as God. Just like people worship Guru as good as God, they also worship the king as good as God. Because the king is submitting himself to the laws of God. That's why in the next purport, Prabhupada says that the expertise of a king is to take refuge under the Lord, Lord's instructions. That is great expertise. Like, you know, Prachena Parishat is telling his sons, my dear sons, now you get married and beget children. They're saying, yes, dear father. And where they go? Are they going for searching for a girl? No. They go into the forest. For what? For performing austerities. That is Vedic life. Because people know, if I have to get good issues, for that I have to perform penances and austerities for the Supreme Personality of Godhead first. And control my mind and senses. And purify my existence. After which, Lord will send forth such good children who will actually be able to do something beneficial to the world. You will find that. This is Vedic life. Similarly, if somebody wants to embark on a project, they want to do something great, the first thing they will do is to go to the Lord. Even today I find, like one lawyer comes here, you know, he comes and keeps his papers here in front of the Lord and he takes it and goes. I've seen many times. You've seen that? Yeah, whenever there's a case. So this is coming actually from a tradition, Vedic tradition. Anything you do, first you go to the Lord and you bow down to Him and you seek His blessings, you seek His permission, you seek His support. Because without Him blessing us and without Him supporting us and giving us the right type of brain and the Shakti, Buddhi, everything, one will not be able to do wonderful things. It's not possible. But even if we are not very wonderful, Lord can do wonderful things through us if He wishes so. That's why people knew the secret. They will always go to the Lord first. Arjuna is sending a Brahmastra as per the order of Krishna. But you find Arjuna circumambulating Krishna 3 times, you know, bowing down to Krishna and praising Krishna with great words, and then he is sending Brahmastra. He is not an attention. He doesn't say, you know, he doesn't see the Brahmastra of the Ashwatthama, and as soon as Krishna said, you know, send Brahmastra, immediately he didn't send. He performed all the necessary details of rituals of worshipping Krishna without fail. So that is actually Vedic life. People knew that the whole material nature, the reins or the ropes of the material nature are in Krishna's hands. Unless that fellow sanctions, I cannot enjoy. It is foolishness for me to try to enjoy myself. Yasmin tushtam jagat tushtam. That is the formula. For example, the hand, no matter how much it tries to enjoy the laddu alone, it cannot enjoy without feeding the stomach. Nor can the hand do any good to any other part of the body like the leg. So the leg is saying, hey, I'm feeling very weak here, you know, please help me. The hand cannot say, don't worry, I'll give you a laddu. Take the laddu and, you know, your pain will go away. One part and parcel cannot help another part and parcel without reference to God. Unless, for example, if I want to help you, the first help I can give you is to pray to Krishna. Please Krishna, I want to help that person. So you please help him. And after Krishna's blessing comes, then I can try to help that person. Otherwise not. Without reference to God, one part and parcel cannot even help other part and parcel. It's not possible. So there are so many people in the world trying to set right the situation of the world by doing social service, social welfare activities. They are also other type of fools, without reference to God. They are also not intelligent. Because such kind of social welfare activities will never satisfy the living beings. Without serving the pivot of all, the pivot of all existence, which is Krishna. So the kings were truly wise. The Vedic times, like Yudhishthira Maharaj. You want the rains? You simply perform yajna and the rains will come. Prabhupada told this in Hyderabad when he went. One social welfare worker came to him and said, Swamiji, there is a lot of famine. There is no rain. Is there, what is your suggestion? And Prabhupada said, perform Sankirtan Yajna, Prabhupada said. And they performed Sankirtan Yajna. There was heavy rains after that. Actually, there is a raga also in Carnatic music. We sing Amrita Varshini raga. There is a music which we sing. So, if one sings the Lord's glories with the Amrita Varshini raga, immediately there will be rains. There are many great poets in India who have brought rains simply by extolling the Lord's glories by singing in that raga. The rains have come. Can you imagine? So, when Lord is pleased, then when the Lord smiles, then the nature also will smile. Because simply nature is working under the Lord's direction. That's why it is said the nature's prosperity that you see is also Lord's smile. When Krishna smiles, if you find the nature starving, not flourishing, the reason is Krishna is unhappy. When you make the Lord unhappy, then how can the nature flourish? It cannot flourish. Yasmin tushtam, jagat tushtam. That is a formula. So, Prabhupada is saying here that modern man has become so mad in killing the innocent animals through slaughterhouses and creating huge factories for producing consumer products and increasing the artificial goods more and more. You see, one gentleman was telling me, one company is producing a product, children can wear a kind of, some kind of small equipment in their, around their neck, they can wear this. If they wear and go to school, with that, what is the facility, what is the advantage of that? The parents simply, with another device they will be having in their hand, they can know whether the child went to school or went to cinema. They can find out. Because that device will tell them where the child went. And as soon as the child enters the gate, immediately the attendance of the child is taken. Attendance is marked P immediately. Because the device is there in the child's neck, he enters the school. And so it becomes very easy for the teachers also. Similarly, along with the device, as soon as the device is there, all the details about the child will be known. It will be kept in the database, So, I was wondering about this kind of modern equipments are so much appreciated by the modern man. Just see how intelligent modern man is. He has found out a device, you know, by which, you know, in this way you can very practically use it. Now, why you have to have this device? Because you have created a cinema house, that's why child is going there. If you don't have the cinema house, child will not go there, he will go to the Gurukul. And in Gurukul, if you teach the children truthfulness, you know, like you see Aruni, such great disciples you find. If the children are so truthful to the teacher, what is the need of this device? To check whether they are cheating or not. First, you create artificial facility like the cinema house and artificial culture and everything, where the children are trying to escape from home and do mischievous things like that. And then you create another facility for detecting them and punishing them. Just see. What a kind of foolish life it is. This is one simple example. We can give innumerable examples like this. Modern man is simply making a fool out of himself by creating artificial necessities. So as far as we are concerned, we are also not far away from modern life. We are living in the society. So we have to find out how we can minimize the artificial necessities in our life and keep our life simple. For example, we use mobiles for preaching purpose, ultimately for the sake of propagating Krishna consciousness, and we use many more devices. But devotees also should be intelligent to try to minimize the use as much as they can. So this is a paradox for the devotees. On one hand, we say Yukta Vairagya. We can use slide projectors, you can use cars, you can use automobiles, you can use mobiles. You can use everything in Krishna's service. Ultimately, they are all meant for Krishna's service only. But we also have to know, like, you know, in one ashram they were considering whether they can have a washing machine to save the time of devotees. Later on they said, no, we will not have the washing machine because they will become lazy. They will not, instead of engaging their senses in Lord's service, instead of doing that, they would rather sleep. They would put the clothes for washing and they would go to sleep. So better that let them use their hands and legs than use. So we have to be very careful. We can misuse the concept of Yukta Vairagya and pamper our senses more and more with artificial luxuries and necessities. So we have to know where is the limit. We have to draw a line. It's very important. Like for example, we say we want air condition for the computers. And sometimes, even while not using computers, we would like to put air condition because it feels nice. So when we pamper the senses, then the sufferings that you are supposed to get at that time will be given at another time, because the same installment will come at another time in some other form. You cannot escape that. So as devotees, we have to find out how to, because keeping our life simple means our heart also will be simple. If heart is simple, it is very easy to practice devotional service. And the more we pamper the senses with artificial necessities, to that extent our tension, our stress, our problems can increase. At the same time, the artificial necessities, artificial things also makes one proud. That I am controlling everything, everything is in my fingertips. So one has to see whether one is utilizing the modern amenities and facilities properly in Krishna's service. That's the best use of bad bargain, we can say. Best use of bad bargain means if we cannot run away from them, to utilize them to the best in Krishna's service. And in that also one should be cautious. For example, you know, electricity, it is said electricity is a, you know, good servant but a bad master, it is said. Why? For example, if you dominate electricity, if electricity becomes your servant, you know, you can use it for so many appliances, isn't it? But if you get electric shock, you will die. When you put your finger in a socket and electricity dominates you, then you will die, isn't it? Similarly, a devotee is one who has studied the scriptures, and you can see the difference between spirit and matter. You can see the difference between sat and asat, vidya and avidya and all that. So that maturity of wisdom should know how to use these artificial necessities sparingly. For example, use a mobile. There is a time to use the mobile. There is a time to switch off the mobile. Like you are chanting morning, you know, 2 hours, you don't have to have your mobile on. You know. Otherwise, the mobile is in the bag, you know. It's like a child crying. quack, quack, you know. Then immediately, you know, and somebody is chanting with the right hand and just seeing whose mobile, you know, whose number is it, you know. So your attention is gone. Yeah, you don't have attention at all. So devotees have to know when to use the modern facilities. Otherwise, it can even become a stumbling block in our advancement towards Krishna. It can become. You have to be, like, you know, we have a computer. It's very nice for, you know, folio. You can refer to Prabhupada's articles and everything. It's very nice. But the computer can become an impediment also. Sometimes the computer isn't cooperating. It is hanging. And hours a person may be spending with the computer. So instead of computer being your servant, you become a slave of computer. So that is why all these facilities can be said to be, they are good servants but bad masters. So you don't become their servant. They should be your servant. Exactly like the mind, we say. Mind is a, you know, good servant but a bad master. Same thing is said about the mind. As long as mind and senses are your servant to the intelligence, you can utilize it very nicely. But when mind becomes a master, then the mind will exploit you and dictate you. So we cannot run away to a farmhouse. Of course, there are farmhouses in ISKCON also. So devotees can go to farmhouse occasionally, you know, to read and chant and intensify their Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada wanted us to preach in the cities. But while living in cities, we have to find out how much we can keep our life as natural as possible. And we can take an inventory of the things that we use and try to find out which are the things we really need. For example, somebody gifted me a palm top, you know. So I was wondering whether should I really use a palm top for noting down my daily engagements. So there may be hundreds of meetings we may take, thousands of people we may meet, thousands of mails we may reply. But is really a palm top necessary for me in my life? This was a question mark. Till date, in 2 months it is with me, I am not using it. So I am not really convinced whether I should really use it. Because, you know, although daily appointments and everything I can note down in that. So I would rather simplify it by using a small notebook and pen, you know, where I can note down my daily engagements. Why should I go for, because the more we go for these kind of things, artificial necessities, it's very risky for us. Because the more we are dealing with machines, and the danger is, you will start, as it is said, no, we should love people and use things, it is said. Then you will start using people and loving things. So people start loving the material things, dead things. And they may start using people like machines. The more we deal with machines. So modern civilization is a machine culture. So we should find out how we can use it sparingly. Like I asked a devotee, should I give you a soft copy of the book or would you like to have a hard copy? He preferred a hard copy. He said, I would like to rather have the book and read. Because he said, I am already seeing the computer monitor 12 hours a day in the company. Let me have a hard copy of the book and read the book directly instead of looking at the monitor. So we should find out ways and means to minimize our artificial necessities. That's one main point Prabhupada is saying. And second point he is saying is, we have to know that we have gone far away from nature, which is supplying all the necessary ingredients, and that nature also functions according to Krishna's direction. The more you break Krishna's laws, the more you go away from nature, to that degree you will suffer even in the midst of artificial luxuries that you have created. So modern man is terribly suffering despite creating a world of luxuries. So much, after creating so much. See the shopping malls coming very close to our temple. This side, as you can see. These are all practical displays of artificial necessities. Supermarkets and shopping malls. So Pune is becoming like Bombay. Another decade, Pune will be like Bombay. It's certainly not an exaggeration. It's only a matter of time. So everywhere things are becoming like that. And in this verse and next verse, Prabhupada is emphasizing on how Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled a very Krishna-conscious kingdom. If you live close to nature, it is possible to be Krishna-conscious more easily. And using artificial items makes our mind also very artificial and proud. So we certainly have something to take from this in our lives. I have seen that devotees have a natural appreciation for mode of goodness and, you know, natural living. Whenever devotees go to natural setting, they like it. But unfortunately, people nowadays are spiritually dull. They are not going to come to forest to hear from devotees. That's why Prabhupada established centers in the heart of the cities. But while living in the heart of the city, devotees should find out how to keep our life more and more and more close to nature and keep our life simple. Simple living, high thinking, even in the midst of living in city, like eating natural foods. Like, you know, at one time we were using all this chowming and all, buying this, what do you call it, this noodles, artificially made items, which are made in the machines. So this is one example which I'm giving. They make this junk food, you know, noodles. It's a junk food actually. Junk food, although it's very tasty for the tongue, it's not good for the stomach. It's not good for health. And nowadays in cities, people use artificial foods like anything. So devotees can cut down that, isn't it? So this is one example. Now think of many examples like this. Using rasna, for example. What is the need? Why should you use rasna? You ask any woman at home, they will say, oh, it is easy to use. You know, one rasna you buy, you can make 32 glasses. I can make for all my guests. Very easy to use. But it's a chemical. It's an artificial chemical. It really tortures the body actually. So, devotees can carefully find out. One devotee has made this research, it's available in the net. What are the artificial things that we use in our everyday life? And what is the natural substitute for that? So, devotee has made, somebody like Yashwanpu can find out and, you know. So, whenever we hear such purports from Prabhupada, it is not only for Bhagavatam class discussion. We also should find out how we can apply in our everyday life. Because Bhagavatam is for application and transformation. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki? Thank you very much.